Well, I really am thankful to get to speak to you one more time. I was hoping I would get to, and I count it a real privilege, because I still feel like I haven't really shared all I have to say, not only about Papua New Guinea, but just about what God has to say about a job for each of us. And I appreciate what Laura said there. I love Chalk Talks. We have a lady at our school, the dorm parent, and she does them. And I just, you know, really enjoy that kind of ministry and that message that God has through those. Get organized here. I'm not like Linda. I have to be organized.
He knows
it. That's right.
I want to deal with some serious things first, and then I'll come down to some lighter things toward the end. But if you would, you might turn with me to Isaiah 1, chapter 1. This has really been a precious week for me. I've learned some things, and had just a good time of fellowship with many of you. And my immediate family is not with me, my wife and five children, four girls and a boy. But I miss them, but I feel like I've got a family right here too.
Amen. Amen.
And I thank the Lord for the brothers and sisters and maybe mothers and fathers in some sense too, right here in this fellowship. It's precious. Wherever we are in the Lord, where we are in the world, the Lord provides family for us.
Amen.
I really am, you know, thankful for this week. And I'm learning some things, I said. One thing I've learned, and I'm just going to apply it to something else. This is not the book, as some people think. Now I'm beginning to realize this is our book, right?
Amen. Amen.
And it's not only our book, it's my book.
Amen. Amen.
Our gospel, our book. Isn't that something? Amen. I thank the Lord for that thought this week. Amen. That makes it more important, doesn't it? It's
Amen.
Not just the gospel, it's our gospel. Thank you, brother, for sharing that. Well, in Isaiah 1, verse 19, we start here. I'm just reading a couple verses. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, we've got two options here, so to speak, or two ways of thinking or acting. Now, I know in the context, this is talking about Israel, as a nation that has sinned and fallen away and not following the Lord, not being obedient and that kind of thing. I understand that. And that's the context. In verse 4, it talks about them being a sinful nation. Verse 10, it talks about God calling them back to repentance, as he speaks to us so many times, you know, calling us back just to, you know, get with it again. But what I'm really concerned about here is stepping aside from the context now, but I think there's a pattern here for mankind overall, whether he's saved or unsaved. And it's this kind of thing that, you know, man always seems to be wanting to argue, okay? Now, this is kind of a family joke. I say this is my family now, Billy and Dale, all this week. Have had their fun, and it is in good fun.
This week, brother, it's all right.
This week, as far as I have known, but that's right. Have had their fun, well, arguing, whatever you want to call it, and taking two points of view. And they really go at it. And they're sincere. They're serious, I think. Anyway, they really hold on to their positions. And but seriously, we're just like that. In serious things, we really get wrapped up in this thing. I've seen it on the field. I've seen missionaries like myself, and I've been to these things too. We can get so concerned about some things that we get, you know, so close to home about that affect us. We really take our position and we stand and we get hard-necked about it. Mm-hmm. And we're willing to argue with our fellow co-laborers. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest areas is money, you know. Boy, we start looking the way other people get some and I don't get any, or whatever, or the way they're taking out this amount out of what I get, you know, for this kind of thing. And money really, you know, begins to bring some things out of us. And we take our position and we argue. And I've heard men, and I just couldn't believe it, men talking to our business manager, really getting rough, you know, and I mean arguing, why was this taken out of my voucher this month? You know, that's sad, isn't it? But it happens, because that's the way we are. That's what I'm saying. This is the thing about man, that we just have got to take our position sometimes, we think, and argue about some things. It's not about money alone. It's also a job assignment sometimes. Maybe somebody says, you know, we should work here. The committee says we should work in this tribe. And, well, maybe we feel we ought to go somewhere else. And sometimes there's a conflict of opinion there, and it has to be worked out, and it is. But it's that old nature still wanting to fight for our position on it. And an area of methods, you know, two couples get in a tribe together, and it's not uncommon that they might get to arguing about methods, you know. Well, I think we should, you know, start with this chapter or this book, or start working in this area of maybe medical or whatever first. And the other guy says, no, we should start doing this first, you know. And they get to argue, what shall we do first? One thinks one is right, and the other thinks the other is right. But this is the pattern, you see. We do it with each other, and we start doing it with God, too. In our own personal lives, we do it with God, whether on a mission field or at home. Why, God? Why did you send me to Papua New Guinea and allow all this sickness? You know, I came here for you. Boy, I was fired up. I really wanted to reach the world for you. And you sent me here, you trained me, you've done all these things. Now why all this sickness? I just don't understand it. Why, God? We start questioning. We've got our opinion, our position. We've got to defend it. Well, or maybe, you know, it could be we've been in this tribe 10, 15, sometimes maybe 20 years. You know, it's a long, hard process. And maybe not that long for converts, but sometimes we begin to question God. Why don't I have someone that's a believer yet? After 10 years, say, no believer. I mean, we have that in a tribe. It's a long time, but he finally has believers in that tribe now. Why, God, are there no believers after all this hard labor I put in for you? We can question God like that, and we do it. Well, this is what I'm trying to get at, is this attitude. Now, it's in the unbeliever when he's fighting against God, who's speaking to him about his salvation. And as we become a believer, we're still doing the same thing, aren't we? We're still questioning God. We're still arguing with him about so many things. Proverbs 2:21 just talks about this very same thing again. The upright will dwell in the land, but the wicked, will be cut off. The upright, those who are godly and follow God's ways, obey, do what he wants them to do, will dwell in the land. Dale preached a tremendous sermon last night about, you know, being in the land there, and the upright are going to inherit that land, enjoy all the fruit of it. But those who are wicked or those who refuse are just not going to enjoy it at all. They're going to be cut off. Now, so what I'm getting at, the basic problem here, I think, is I'm just focusing on one aspect, is this little three-letter word, B-U-T. But God, you know, sometimes another word, why God? How come? You know, but still it's, but. Sometimes our Sepik brothers up in the Sepik area where they have the river, the Sepik River, and they start talking like, but, and so your motorboat's running. But we do that. It's just a constant kind of thing. We get on a kick like this, but, you know, we start questioning, but God. Then we can think of the classic example of Moses. You know, God called Moses to go take his people out of Egypt. And what did he do? Just like us, with me. First thing he says, but God. Who, me? Who am I? Why me? I'm not even capable of doing this kind of thing. I'm not qualified. You know, his first question was against God. Why me? But God, not, you know, I can't do it. God said what? Never mind, Moses. I will be with thee. Verse 12, chapter 3 of Exodus.
Amen.
Well, Moses tried. We do that. We try. And Moses didn't get away with it. God said, I'll be with you, Moses, whether you're qualified or not. You just do it. Well, Moses had to try it again. So in chapter 4, he tries it again. He says, but God, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm slow of speech, of tongue. And can't you just hear it? Haven't you said it yourself? I don't have a college education. I don't have speech courses. Okay? And I get scared every time I get in front of a group, and I do that myself too. Okay? I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. Why, God? I mean, I can't do it. But God said what? Moses, who made man's mouth?
Amen.
I did.
Amen.
And I made it, and I'll put the words in your mouth. All you have to do is just be there. You know? Well, Moses, that was hard for Moses, and that was so hard, he just couldn't give up on that one. And it says that God got so angry with Moses, and finally, he just took a blessing away from Moses and said, all right, I'm going to send along Aaron, and Aaron is going to be the spokesman for you. See, Moses missed it, didn't he? He just couldn't give up his position. But God, I can't speak, all right? Somebody else will do the job. Aaron will speak for me. And Moses missed it. We missed so many opportunities. I know I've missed opportunities by saying, but God, not me, surely. Somebody else could do it better than I could. Well, Moses still got to go and do the job that God asked him to do, basically, but think of the possible things he missed out on by saying, but God, surely, you know, that but God attitude, but not me. Well, we can look on the other side in a more perfect example, Abraham, wonderful example. We're told in over in the New Testament, Romans 4:20. I guess we better look at that. I think I want to read a verse. Romans 4. Starting about verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham, when God said for him to do something, he say, but God, no, he never staggered. He never wavered. He never questioned. He never had unbelief. He always believed God's promises, and God honored that. And so he was strong in faith, giving God the glory. And back in the one there with Moses, I forgot to mention too, right after that occasion when Moses or God says, all right, Aaron will have that privilege, and it says, but God has spoken. And God's word is supreme. His
name
is it. And regardless of what Moses had in his arguments, God said, this is the way it is.
Amen.
It's just too bad that you're going to miss out on it. Well, Abraham's a perfect example. He believed and he received the promises of God because he believed them. He had the faith. He never wavered. And God honored that and showed Abraham his glory. There's a parable, of course, too, of the two sons. We've heard about that this week, and that's a good example again. Two sons are sent. We're told to go to the vineyard, and one says, yes, I'll go, but he didn't. And the other one says, no, I won't go, but he did. See, we're kind of vacillating. We're just not willing to immediately commit ourselves. God says, do something. Well, I got to think about it. But God, now wait. Have you thought this over? You know, are you sure I'm the right person for this? Like the two sons, okay, the waivers. Well, I think we do that. For Christians, we're doing this, always doing it. And no matter how close we get to the Lord, no matter how much experience, I think there's still always that potential to say, but God, no matter what job he gives us. I want to read to you just a few examples from an excellent little poem I ran across. What if, now what if is one of those but God or but kind of things, you know. You've heard of the what-ifers in the scriptures, these questioning things. Well, look at it this way. What if John 3:16 read like this? For God so loved the world, he decided to send his son. But when he said to his son, go, his son said, I don't feel a burden for the lost. Besides, I'm established and have responsibilities and commitments to attend to. Or what if before the son had left heaven to come to earth, he had said, I see a real need for someone to go, and I'm willing to go, but I haven't been called. It's hard, doesn't it? Or what if, as Christ was preparing to go to Jerusalem the last time to die, he had said, well, I'm needed most in my present ministry. I'm serving God better right here. And sometimes a person, I'm not negating that, sometimes the person is really in the right place. And sometimes they aren't, and they're using it as an excuse. That this is where I think I should be. But God changes that ministry sometimes too. And here's another job for you to do now. You finished the job I had here in this ministry. Now I have another job for you. But they want it. But God, I want to stay here where I am. This is a little more comfortable and secure. Or what if Christ, hanging on the cross, had said, it's too much to ask an individual. The cost is too great. I just can't do it. What if Christ had this but God attitude when God spoke to his own son to do these things? let me read a poem to you, too. Still with this idea of the but God. It's called No Song to Sing. We have Bibles on the table, Bibles by the bed, Bibles in translation. Oh, so easy to be read. But what about the man who cannot understand God's way because he has no Bible to read from every day? We have songs about Jesus, songs about the Lord, songs about heaven, and songs about God's word. But what about the girl who hasn't even heard a thing about the love of Jesus? She has no song to sing. We have churches that are big, churches that are small. The children, they all meet in the back of the hall. But what about the child who will never know the day when someone comes and tells him that Jesus is the way? Oh, help me, Lord Jesus, to take your holy word to people living in this world who've never even heard that Jesus died on Calvary, that we might be forgiven, that he lives today and reigns on high, and he is the way to heaven. I was trying to think now, for myself, I wasn't here during the whole week, but I'm thankful for the few days I did have, but thinking back to myself, some of the themes that seem to be coming out to me anyway are some of these, like, first, like I said, this is our gospel.
Amen.
That's a theme. That's what, when I say a theme, that's something the Lord keeps saying to us.
Amen.
Through each speaker, through his word. This is our gospel. That's something he wants us to get this week. This is our gospel. Another one, that, that our gospel is hid from the lost if somebody doesn't take it to them.
Amen.
We've got it. Thank the Lord that we've got it. What a privilege, you know. We're only here by the grace of God that he gave this country
Amen.
Such an opportunity to hear the gospel. Maybe, shall we say, first, before so many out there in other parts of the world.
Thank you.
But they're never going to hear if we just keep hiding it right here. All these Bibles around us. One of our men goes out on Sunday to a high school, a national high school, a few miles away. He has about 24 real keen high school boys, roughly between ages 15 and 17. And he's been teaching them in Pidgin, of course, trade language. And sometimes gets in a little English because they're learning English, too. But he had this class with them. And, boy, you know, he wanted them to see God's word in their own hands. And, of course, they're Pidgin Bibles, and they can read some Pidgin. But he didn't have Bibles to get them. You know, here was an opportunity. Well, in a sense, they had God's word, the spoken word. They didn't have the written word. And thank the Lord, since I've been home, God has provided 100 New Testaments for those young boys.
Amen.
100 New Testaments for those boys. That's four apiece. But that means that they can expand and bring in some more boys.
Amen.
Now, that gospel is not so-called hid from the written, although they've had it in the oral. Another theme I've heard is believe that God is able. Believe he is able. And that's where our trip up so many times is just the believing. I know for myself. Another one is God's prayer request or God's concern is that we pray for laborers.
Amen.
And I have to admit, I haven't prayed enough for laborers. I've really been convicted of this week of, you know, the need to pray for laborers. That's the main concern, main prayer request God gave us
Amen.
To be praying for. And praise the Lord, I saw him answer that this week
Amen.
By raising up laborers.
Amen.
What a joy. What a joy. He answered that prayer. Raise up laborers. He did it. Okay. Another one. God has a job for each person. And we say, well, if I don't do it, somebody else will. The job will still get done. It's true. The job will still get done. It got done when God called Moses, didn't he? And Moses missed out on a lot of wonderful blessings and riches of God's glory because he backed off a bit. The job is still going to get done. God is going to do it. God says, I will finish the job. Nothing's going to stop me. Not
Amen.
In the gates of hell.
Amen.
This will get done. Only, I'd like you to do it.
Right.
And you. And help me. You know, you and you and you. Each of you have a job. I have something for every one of you. He's got his clipboard right there. And he's got all the job lists. Never been a work detail manager. We have these in our training camps. Work detail manager has all the jobs for the day. And he has a list of all the men on the student roster. He says, okay. And we all come up and say, what are we supposed to do today? And he looks at the list of jobs. All right, here's what you do, you do, you do, you do. And we get it and we go off and do our job. God has that list
Amen.
For us every day for as long as we live on this earth until this job is finished. Now imagine if I went to that work detail leader and said, oh, but I didn't really want to do that job today. How about if I, instead of, you know, cleaning out the garbage pit over there or whatever, you know, we have to haul off garbage and do all kinds of dirty jobs like that. And instead of that job, how about if I rake leaves today? I like to do that. Or I like to mow lawns. You know, that job wouldn't get done. I mean, somebody else would do it, but I've mowed a lot of lawns. That seemed to be my special ministry, I guess. It kind of stuck me with it. But I had a lot of blessings mowing lawns. For one thing, I work better by myself, and I hope that's a blessing. But anyway, I work better by myself. But mowing lawns gave me a lot of time to think and talk with the Lord. Whereas if I'm with somebody, I can't do that so well because then we're talking, see? But God could use that to have that time with me by mowing lawns. And if I'd said, oh, I don't want to mow lawns, you know, I'd rather help Joe over here lay some bricks. Well, I would have missed out, no doubt, on a lot of precious times. So we don't know what God has in it when he says, this is a job I have for you. We don't have to know, do we? It's just, all right, fine. Thank you for that job assignment.
Amen.
Go do it. Then finally, God says, and this is the main one, the most important one, this is what they all come to, God says, go.
Amen.
Go. Go. And I would like to say that, you know, for hour and hour. Go, go, go. It's throughout the whole word, isn't it? Now, if it's so important, God wouldn't have put it in there so many times.
Amen.
And go. Somewhere, anywhere, wherever he sends you. And anyone, all of us. He has something for everyone. Okay, just a couple other examples. You don't have to look at these. Acts 4:20. We have the occasion here where Peter and John are threatened. And threatened for preaching. But what did they say? Well, I guess I better read Acts 4:20. What did they say? I'll read the words here as it is. Didn't bother them that they were threatened for preaching, you know. They didn't care what was going to happen. And they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I don't care what you say you're going to do to us. We're still going to do it. We can't do anything but that. There's no other choice for us, you know. We want to. That's our job. We cannot do anything but speak the things. Another one, Acts 5:17 and 18, where the apostles are in prison. The apostles were in prison, but what does it say? But God freed them. Okay? Now, we can be in hard places sometimes. We can even be in a kind of spiritual bondage, feeling trapped by something, and God can free us by that, just by not questioning, by just being obedient. And Gamaliel comes along later, and he says, well, you know, with his great wisdom, if this is God's work, you can't do anything to stop it.
Amen.
You might as well let him do it. It's God's work. You can't stop him. And this is God's work, that we go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
And nothing is going to stop him. And we can slow it down a bit by getting the job, you know, done a little slower maybe, by not being obedient immediately. But we can't stop him from getting it done. He says he'll still get it finished. We just might miss out on seeing that it gets done. Well, I'm really thankful that I have an opportunity myself to be in this work. It's the grace of the Lord that he chooses any of us.
Amen.
And it's a privilege, really a special privilege. I don't understand why he even chose us. As we listen to that tune over and over, there's so many ways God could have chosen, but he chose folks like us.
Amen.
Well, I don't understand that, but the truth is still there. He still chose us. The command is still there. Acts 1:8 now, last one. Say it again. You've heard it thousands of times. But ye, and he said unto them, it is not, starting verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power. Basically, all I want to say on this is that we don't have to know what's going to be involved in the job, how long it's going to take, what it's going to take to do it, the methods, the finances needed. We don't have to know all those things. He just says, do it, and we go, and he takes care of all the details. In verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He just says, go. And I'll provide the ability, the power, the finances, the equipment, the strength day by day, the encouragement from co-laborers, from the Word, from His Holy Spirit's presence, all these things. I'll take care of those things. All I want you to do is just do. You know, just go and do it. How can we look in his wondrous face and still say no? How can we know of his grace and not go tell others about it? That's a challenge in my own heart this week. Starting here in San Antonio, ye shall be witnesses out to Mexico, Guatemala, Papua New Guinea, Brazil, Africa, the uttermost parts of the earth. Ye shall be witnesses, and I shall give you the power and the ability, he says. Now, God says go, and that's in a command form. And Brent knows, he's been in the service, that when you're given a command, there is no option, there's no condition, there's only one answer to a command, isn't there? Yes, sir, for the service. And when God says go, it's still a command. And we don't have any other choice. It's
Amen.
Yes, Father. Thank you for giving me the privilege.
Amen.
As soldiers of the cross then, and we are soldiers of the cross by His choosing us. And therefore, as soldiers, we are, must be obedient to His commands. We can be willing and obedient and enjoy the fruit of the land, or we can be rebels and refuse and be cut off from enjoying the wonderful riches of His glory. I really enjoyed this week with you. And I thank the Lord for it again. And I look forward now to being with you again. My prayer might be that the next time we get together would be in our home up there.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Wouldn't that be better?
Praise the Lord.
Now, this is nice, but that's going to be much better.
Amen.
But if that should not come between now and 1985, we hope to be back with you again. I hope that the family can come with me. Keep praying, praying for that. Thank you for praying with us for the family this week, for praying with us these 4 years since we've known you and you've come into our lives. Thank you for giving and being part of the work in Papua New Guinea. And we're just really, well, thank you is not even, you know, sufficient, is it? But you know what I want to say. I appreciate the fellowship with you. I thank you, particular folks that have had us in for meals. That was really special. And Dan and Bernie, who put up with me this week. They were really sweet, precious. And a wonderful birthday party last night. That was kind of a nice icing on the cake, so to speak. And I thank you, too, for the privilege of showing the slides. We have really been thankful for the slide the Lord has given us to share with folks. And through them, you can see a little bit about New Guinea and see the tremendous need there. That's one part of the world where God has a job to do. There's a talk in this country about, you know, unemployment and so many people looking for jobs. Boy, if you're looking for jobs, there are plenty of jobs available.
That's right.
I got a list here.
Amen.
We need carpenters, mechanics, masons, teachers. You know, I can name, well, I can name every occupation you cover. Okay. We can use it on the field there. We need language learners, translators, dorm parents. You know, it's endless. We need those people. And constantly, and they're replacing people, you know, coming on furlough. We need these kind of things too. God has a job for everybody, and we need Him. It's a team effort. And, standing in the gap, that's the job, and someone to fill that place and that position, and that's good. If you need a job, I'm still available, and, just tell me where to sign up if you want to go to New Guinea. But, the Lord is always there. He's got His list ready. And He's willing to take you anytime, wherever you want to go, or wherever, you know, He can take you wherever He wants you to go when you just say, yes, Lord. You know, they're, understand, why can't they? Because they haven't heard the gospel. Because hundreds of Christian believers, even in this country alone, that has the largest population of Christian believers and the most potential of any place in the world, are still not going out and giving those people a chance to say yes. Because people here are saying, no, Lord. But God, why me? And we start going around and around arguing about it. Well, pray for us. Pray for the work in New Guinea. We pray for you. And we just pray that you will be where the Lord wants you to be, obedient unto His will in all places, and be everything that He wants you to be. Thank you for this time with you, and we thank the Lord for it.
Thank you, brother.